Once upon a time, there was a woman who set out to discover the meaning of life. So she started off by reading all the books she could lay her hands on: history, philosophy, psychology, religion. And she became a very well-read person. But nothing she read quite gave her the answer she was looking for. So she found other clever and well-read people and asked them what they thought about the meaning of life. And they had long and lively discussions, but no two of them agreed on the same thing. She still had no answer. So she put all her belongings in storage and set off around the world in search of the meaning of life. She went to South America, to India, to Africa. Everywhere she went, people said they didn't know the meaning of life. But they had heard of a man who did, although they weren't quite sure where he lived. So she asked about him and finally tracked him down, deep in the Himalayas. His house was a tiny hut perched on the side of a mountain, just below the tree line. She climbed and climbed until she reached his front door. When she got there, her knuckles were so cold she could hardly knock. "Yes," said the kind-looking man who opened the door. And she thought she'd die of happiness. "I've come halfway round the world," she said, "to ask you one question. What is the meaning of life?" "Please come in and have some tea," said the man. No, thank you, but I didn't come all this way for tea. I came for an answer. Won't you tell me the meaning of life?" "We shall have tea," said the man. So she gave up and came inside. And while he was brewing the tea, she caught her breath and she started telling him about all the books she'd read and the people she'd met and the places she'd been. The old man listened, because that was just as well, because he wouldn't have been able to get a word in edgeways. And as she talked, he placed a teacup in her hand and he began to pour the tea. And she was so busy talking that at first she didn't notice that the teacup was full. And so the man kept on pouring until the tea started to run over the sides and spilled onto the floor in a steaming waterfall. "What are you doing?" she said. "It's full, can't you see? Stop, there's no more room." "Just so," said the old man to her. "You came here wanting something from me, but what am I to do? There's no more room in your cup. Come back when it's empty. And then we will talk." In our first reading, Abraham, a bit like that woman, went on a journey. It wasn't a journey he'd chosen. We're told he was sent. And Abraham wasn't, it seems, a young man. The Bible tells us elsewhere he was 70. But God sends him on a journey. God calls him to make a new start, to leave behind all those things which felt safe and familiar, his country, his home, his relatives, and to go out into the unknown, to make a new start, to take the risk that God had something better for him. And so that's what Abraham does. In a sense, he empties his teacup so that God can fill it with something new. And then in our gospel reading, we jump a few thousand years to another man called to go on a journey. This time it's not so much a physical journey, because Jesus probably didn't live very far from Nicodemus. But like Abraham, Nicodemus is called to leave behind familiar things, to forget the things he thinks he knows about God, to make a new start. In that powerful image from our reading, to be born from above, to be born of water and spirit. It's a good image because, of course, a new baby comes into the world open to learn. For a baby, everything is exciting and new. Everything is possible. And at first, for Nicodemus, it all seems too much. Perhaps he feels too old, too set in his ways to change. Like the woman in that opening story, his life is too full. His head is too full, perhaps, of all his clever thinking. Can someone like that really change? But of course, later in John's Gospel, we come across that same Nicodemus defending Jesus' right to a fair trial when all the other Jewish leaders are against him. Finally, we see him helping to take Jesus' body to his tomb. So it looks as if that change that he needed, that new start, that new birth, had begun to happen in his life. And for us too, if we are to move on as Christians, if we want to know God in a deeper way, if we want our faith to be more than just words, we too will probably need to leave some things behind. Things we thought we knew about God. Maybe ways of praying that once helped us but have now gone stale. Habits that keep us from being the people God wants us to be. Because I guess that we too, like that woman in our opening story, are often too full, too busy, too noisy to hear the voice of God. Some of us, I know, have given things up for Lent. Some of us have taken up new spiritual practices. But the point of it all, whether giving up or taking up or a bit of both, is not to do it as a duty or an endurance test, but to make space in our overcluttered lives for God. Space to listen to God and to our own hearts. Space to look at our world and other people with new eyes. Space to notice the wind of God's Spirit, which blows where it will. Sometimes, like Abraham, we have to leave the old and familiar to find the new. Sometimes, like Nicodemus, we need to recover something of a childlike simplicity and trust, to hold a bit more lightly to those things we think we know, and to go that bit deeper. Can someone like you or me really change? That expression in our reading, born from above, is sometimes also translated born again, and people band it about as if it's about some sort of instant transformation. But actually, you don't need to be watching Call the Midwife to know that births are often difficult. Just like leaving is often difficult. Just like beginning to look at things and to think in a new way is often difficult. And of course, being born is just the beginning of a whole lifetime of learning and growing. A new start may mean starting parts of our life from scratch. It won't always be easy or comfortable. But if our faith is to be more than words, then, to use Marcus Borg's expression, it needs to be faith with feet, faith which steps out and takes risks. God tells Abraham that he will bless him and make him a blessing for others. And he calls us to allow ourselves to change and be changed, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of others. For our friends and family, for our community, for our workplace, and for our world. Maybe sometimes it feels as if we've made a real mess of things. Perhaps we think that things can never be different, that life will never be right again. And of course, we can't always undo the damage of past mistakes. But that image of a fresh start, a fresh birth, reminds us that with God's help, we can refuse to let those things overshadow our lives. We can take that new start that God offers and let him bring something new to birth from those past mistakes. So let's take the opportunity that Lent offers to make time for God, to make space in our lives for that new thing that he wants for us, that step deeper into faith, that small change, which might be the start of something bigger. Let's be willing to empty out those metaphorical teacups of all those things with which our lives are full, and make space for God to pour in his Spirit afresh. Amen.